Hey guys, it's Malls. Thanks so much for listening to Please Advise. Just a quick message before the show. Don't forget to subscribe in iTunes. It's super helpful for us and super helpful for you. You can also call 323-450-7408 to get your calls on the show. Again, 323-450-7408. Or email askpleaseadvise@gmail.com with your voice notes or emails. Thanks so much. Hey, you guys, it's episode 139 of Please Advise. I'm Malls. We've been gone for a very, very long time, so I appreciate you guys bearing with us. If you even noticed, I don't know. I think people noticed. Do you think so, Christina?
They absolutely did notice.
They were shook by it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You guys, I'm trying to become a mug millionaire and upload an image to Society 6, and it's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, and I think I'm very old. Anyway... we have a fun guest today I've known for a while through the internet and then a little less time in real life, but we rarely see each other. We've seen each other in odd places, like a couple parties, and then at the Scream Queens premiere was, I think, the last time I saw him. Louis Peitzman, hi, how are you?
I'm great. I'm glad you reminded me of the Scream Queens premiere, because that was a memorable night.
How could you forget? Abigail Breslin stole a pack of cigarettes from my purse.
What?
Yeah, it's like my favorite thing. That like Little Miss Sunshine, like, because I kept catching her. Like, I gave her like some cigarettes, right? She wanted to bum cigs. I feel okay telling this story because it's not bad, but like, essentially over the course of the night, she and her friend kept reaching back into my purse and taking cigarettes. And like, yes, why did I have my purse on a table unattended?
Sure.
I don't know.
Right.
But like, I also was like, oh, Little Miss Sunshine's watching it. It's fine. And then like, I would turn around and see like her little like raccoon sized hand going into my purse. And I just was like, oh my God. And then I was like, actually, this is the most metal thing that's ever happened to me, that like Little Miss Sunshine is stealing cigarettes from me. Like,
all I remember is that
feel cool.
Gwyneth Paltrow looked so beautiful that night.
I know.
And I was like, I could not stop watching her because she was just like so striking.
We made eye contact.
She's incredible. And I was like, how many like eggs does she have in her yoni? You know,
oh,
she's
yeah,
like always walking around with like
her yoni.
Does she put eggs in her yoni? Like,
yeah,
like,
oh,
that
yeah,
was like a big thing. Like, a Goop sells them.
Like dairy eggs?
No, they're oh, like, they're like jade eggs. And then like a gynecologist oh, was like, by the way, you can get toxic shock from this. Like, you shouldn't be putting eggs in your vagina and your yoni. And she was like, I think I know better than a gynecologist. It was like a whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh wow, I had no idea. Well, I do know the word yoni from my favorite show, Polyamory Married and Dating. Have you seen that fine show?
I have not.
Oh my God, it's electric. If you have a moment tonight or whenever in your free time,
I'm gonna go home immediately and
get
watch
the Showtime extension if you don't have it.
Oh, I have
on
it.
Hulu.
Yeah.
Okay,
oh, yeah,
good. I'm glad you treat yourself, because yeah, a treat it really is. Now, it's a docuseries. My audience is like, Molly, we know. It's a docuseries about two polyamorous couples each season,
yeah,
and not couples, like pods, I guess,
right,
you call them. And the first season has like one really beautiful triad that's like, wow.
Triad's a great word, by the way.
Oh
like
my God,
that makes me want to, like, thruple is kind of boring. Like, triad is like beautiful.
Thruple's like just a little Sex in the City for me. Like,
right,
it's a little like, I'm being bad. Like, I used a bad word, like thruple. Like, haha, I'm being disrespectful. Oh, Christina, I figured out how to become a mug millionaire. Huh. I just had to fix the scale. Okay. I'm so rich. Sorry.
I just made a new one for you.
Oh, thank you. I'll send you a free, if you don't love me at my Amanda Knox, you don't deserve me at my Jenny Jizz mug. Should I also make pillows? I'm going to make pillows and mugs. So it's a great show. It's really, really good. And there's also a pod that's like, you know, kind of, I mean, they're gross. Like, and I don't
know. I just feel like I know, like, I know.
I feel like you're pod shaming a little bit.
I am.
No, but it's
no,
like, you know, when you're
am,
like on OkCupid and like you see a profile and you instantly know they're polyamorous. Like,
before
yes, you read it, you just like see the picture and you're like, there's like a lot of like hair happening, like long beard, like long hair, and you
yes,
know they're poly.
It's always like a fusion name.
Oh, what do you mean?
Like, I've seen stuff on like the Lady Tinder where it's like a fusion name.
Okay.
And it's like,
oh, so it's like Bennifer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It'll be
cute,
like, yeah, it'll be like Bennifer.
Like a celebrity couple name.
Yeah, yeah. And then cute, and then it's like, we're just here to have fun and like we're looking for our magical unicorn.
Are.
Someone asked me to join a tryout on OkCupid recently and I was so flattered, even though I wasn't interested. I was just like really,
I know,
moved.
I was gonna say, why aren't you in it?
Well, it was like very confusing what they wanted, because it was like, we want to both date you, but like then the profile was like, we travel a lot, and I was like, is this like kind of like a paid thing. Not paid, but like, is this more like you're getting free vacations?
Would that be good if it was a paid thing?
Absolutely. I mean, that's like you added really, incentive.
You really would. You'd take money.
I don't think I would because I'm too insecure to feel like I deserve that. Right. But I think, but I'm not morally opposed to it at all. If someone wants to, like, you know, take me to their like cabin upstate.
Right, that would be nice. Yeah. I would like a perks relationship. Yeah. I'm very in, but like also like that is my bare minimum for a relationship anyway.
Right. Some, you know? Some perks, yeah, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. Like I if like if there's not perks, then why am I in this? You know?
But I don't if I was dating two people at once, I would feel like I was on a reality show. Like I'd want to pick one at the end. I wouldn't want to like, you know, keep dating both of them forever.
Yeah.
That seems really exhausting.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I could do it. Like, I've always been freaked out by it, but then sometimes I'm like, maybe that would be nice. Like, if you get bored of one person, you can just go to the other.
Yeah. I don't know. I've also, like, had, I've heard a lot of, like, triad horror stories of, like, I think it can totally work, but I know a lot of people who have, like, lost their significant other because they brought a third in. Like, that definitely happens.
Oh, yeah. That happens in, not, I mean, spoiler alert, that happens in season two.
Well, I'm going to watch it now because I'm excited to see how that plays out.
My thing is like, great. It seems like so much emotional work because you have to do a lot of quote unquote processing.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. No, that's see, that's the thing is that also a lot of people in the triads like hate the processing part of it. And it's like, dude, that's the work. Like, yeah. That's the rub. And like, I have a friend whose boyfriend, now ex-boyfriend, was like kind of being like demanding a poly relationship. And she was very much like, you just want to fuck other people. And like, it's kind of fucked up to like actual poly people that that's you insist on calling it that.
Right.
And that is P true.
Why not just be open?
Exactly. Well, I'm going to make $1 million from a mug today. So that's why I'm qualified to give advice. But why are you qualified to give advice?
I mean, I give advice all the time on Twitter.
For free.
For free. Yeah. No, I mean, I started, I used to do Friday night Ambien chats, which morphed into me not taking Ambien, but still mm-hmm. doing it, where people would like ask me questions and I would give them advice. So I've been doing that for years now. So that's pretty much why. I mean, I'm non-judgmental. I'm super open-minded. And I think I give really good advice. I just don't take any of my own advice, but that's like standard. That, like, no one takes their own advice,
no,
right?
No one takes their own advice. And also, that's the other thing, too, is that people ask for it, but they don't really want advice.
No, no one actually listens to advice.
No, I call them out a lot on that, them. I call the listeners out on that a lot because I know that they are not taking this advice to heart.
Right.
Like, this is about, sometimes I can just tell, I'm like, I'm the 15th person you've asked. Like,
right.
You don't really care. Like, you just need, you know that person that needs 500 opinions?
Yeah.
That drives me nuts, first of all. It's like, get your life together. Like, just, I mean, ever heard of a gut instinct? But secondly, like, you know, I mean, it's not a waste of my time. I do this podcast for a reason, but like, I don't know.
No, I started journaling because I was like, I need to stop asking all of my friends the same questions when I know that I don't actually care what they say.
Yeah.
Like, I care, but I just want to be validated. And if they have an opinion that's contrary to mine, then I'm going to ignore it.
So did you bring three reasons why you're qualified to give advice today?
Did I bring those?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think, did I not give them? I guess not three specific reasons.
No, you have to do 1, 2, 3.
Okay, well, what can one be that I just like have a long history of giving advice?
Yes.
I've worked for BuzzFeed for almost 5 years.
Nice.
Which I don't know how that qualifies me to give advice, but you know, it's a thing that I do.
You have to come up with a lot of content.
Totally. And three, I've spent many years in therapy, so I'm, you know, centered or theoretically grounded somehow.
Did you ever have a phase, because I love therapy now, but like I started too young. Like I started when
I definitely started too young. Well, not actually that young, I guess, because a lot of people go to therapy when they're like kids.
Yes. When I had to go. I went when I was like 7 and it like scarred me for life. And I was like, oh, it was bad. So
I mean, I went when I was 16 mm-hmm. and like it didn't scar me, although some of the shit that my therapist said that was like totally boundary violating has stuck with me for, you know, 15 years. So clearly there were some issues there.
Right. Yeah. So who's your therapist now? You don't have to give a first name, last name or anything.
I am between therapists.
Oh, that sucks.
I know. I'm really trying. Because I was also like back and forth between LA and New York a lot. And I was like, I don't want to commit to someone in one place or the other.
Right.
Because I had a guy that I loved in Santa Monica. But, like, I had to drive all the way to Santa Monica from Los Feliz, and that was terrible.
Well, also, is there anything worse than having to literally, like, start over again and, like, re-explain yourself to
a stranger? Yeah, no, I'm like, can I just, like, hand over my journal and you can just, like, read it and figure out how fucked up I am and, like, we can move forward from there.
And also, like, you see as, like, events change over time, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you kind of, like, every time I go into a therapist, I'm like, I have a new take on my shtick from last time. So right. It's like, I'm still fucked up, but now I have an understanding that this was that. And I'm like, am I really making progress or am I just being like a spin doctor every time I go to a new therapist?
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
Therapy's yeah, hard. I also feel like, I don't know, I never get exactly what I want. Like, I want them to tell me more than they do.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they do tell me stuff, I'm always annoyed because I feel like they're telling me too much. So really, I'm just perpetually dissatisfied. And
that's also the truth, too, is that you want to hear what you want to hear. And I have a therapist that does this like real sick thing with me where she tells me all the time I am her favorite client. Like,
oh, wow.
All the time.
That, don't you, like, love that?
I do love it. And it's sick. And I know my mom's therapist does that, too. But, like, I'm also, like, is she just feeding into my narcissism? Like, am I really her favorite client? But then sometimes she'll tell, like, anecdotes where she'll be like, I was at my best friend's house in San Luis Obispo last weekend. And she's like, I totally, like, she's like, I didn't break client privilege or anything like that. But she's like, I was telling her about, like, how you impressed me so much and, like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, Mary, you sit around and talk about me with your girlfriends? Like,
I mean, that's real.
That's very nice. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
It's super nice. I mean, I just want to make my therapist think I'm, like, charming. So if you can make them laugh and, like, I wanted my stories to be fun. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm there for therapy, but I'm also, like, here to entertain you.
Right, exactly. Well, that's the other thing, too, is that I call it, like, winning therapy, which is that, like, people who are probably, like, I'll lump us together, people who are probably like us, really want to, like, leave a good impression.
Yeah.
And, like, have the therapist be like, wow, Lewis has come so far. Like, he is really putting the work in. That, and, like, even if you're not, like, I always like to leave. I find that I work harder at therapy because I want the positive feedback.
Yeah.
Which is
makes
sick.
Sense. Yeah, I know. It is. It's only sick because, like, I feel like I'm often putting on a performance and they're not really getting how damaged I feel that day.
Right.
I'm coming in and I want to say that I'm like, you know, I'm being very like introspective and I've like really worked through my issues and I'm like
right.
here to like keep talking them out. But really I'm like a total mess and like I will leave therapy and feel as fucked up as I did when I got there.
And you're not undoing your people pleasing factor, which right. is really what it is. It's like, I would like to pay $175 out of network, like to basically go to someone and like give them this shtick about my life that's like not necessarily.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying out new material pretty much is what's happening.
Essentially. My therapist does do that with me though, where she's like, that's funny, you should write that down. And I'm like, thank you. Like, she'll be like, that's good dialogue. She's like, put that somewhere. So she'll be like, she literally makes me write things down. I told you I go to a hypnotherapist.
Yeah.
So I spend a lot of time. I mean, we definitely do talk therapy, like, in order for her to figure out what I need to work on hypno-wise.
Yeah.
Like, she also wants to talk a lot. But the main thing we do is that she realized that, like, my biggest source of sadness is stress. And so what we do is we sit down and we go through my calendar and we write down every day what I have to do for each day.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think you probably feel this way, too. Like, I have a million things I have to turn in all the time, whether it be podcasts or draft or whatever, or like, oh, I said I'd write up a pitch for this or something. And then you just are like, fuck, I have like 500 things to do. But like, really, if you think like I put in 3 hours on Monday, I go over it again with fresh eyes on Thursday, turn it in on Friday morning, like that's an easy pill to swallow.
Right.
That's not that hard.
That seems like a useful way to approach therapy, though. That's a very, like, you have, like, a concrete plan.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing something very specific that you, you know, probably could do alone, but, like, it's more helpful when someone's, like, guiding you through that.
I do think it's because I'm a Capricorn and I need logic and, like, practicality. Like, that really gets my rocks off. Like, I went to a therapist who I think made me a lot worse, in fact, because like I just sat there for 2 years and bitched into space and like it's only from having other therapists where they're like, okay, so this week when you do that again, why don't you practice, you know, and, you know, saying it with a different spin or whatever, like they'll give me like a useful technique to go into my week with, whereas opposed to other therapists I've had, I've just sat there for an hour like crying or like you know, being angry about my boyfriend or like whatever. And then like 50 minutes later, they're like, okay, time to go. We have to wrap it up for today, which is the other thing that I hate too, is that, did you know that you're not paying for an hour? You're paying for 50 minutes.
You're paying for a 50 minute hour. Yeah. It's bullshit. Yeah.
So it like, and that really drives me nuts because especially if I mean, in Glendale, it's a whole different animal. I book 2 hour therapy sessions. I don't go every week. I sometimes will go once a month for 3 hours. And like really fucking talk it out.
Yeah.
Because once, if I'm going to drive all the way to, thank God I don't have a doctor in Beverly Hills right now, but in the past I have. Yeah. If I'm going to drive all the way there, if my commute to you is longer than my time talking to you,
that's not okay.
It's not cool. Yeah. And like, so my therapist now like totally gets that. She also does phone sessions with me, but
love
like
phone sessions.
See, I don't really like that. I feel like I'm faking it through.
Interesting.
Like, I'll be like making an egg and like, you know, like staring out.
Not the one you're putting in your vagina.
Not my egg, but not my vagina eggs. But like, I actually do have like a crystal that's shaped like a egg. This is real gross now. I got one for Jolie for her birthday. She probably thinks like I'm giving her a yoni egg.
Don't put it in your own yoni.
Well, we'll see. We're going to Palm Springs this weekend, so we might get crazy.
What in Palm Springs, you know?
We're going to Indian Wells, which God knows what that is, but I don't really.
Oh, I know Indian Wells.
Is it cute?
Sure. I mean, Palm Desert's all kind of the same. It's all just like, you know.
Bogan.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. No, I mean, the first time I went to Palm Springs, like, Ed and I were addicted to the word bogan because I was like, wow, like, this is a real trash heap. Like, this is, like, not what I expected. Like, everyone talks about this majestic Palm Springs, but, like, Palm Springs is the definition of high-low. Like, you have the Parker or you have, like, a trailer park. Like, right. It goes either, it's one or the other, you know?
That's
so
the
it's,
charm of it.
I mean, I guess it is. Yeah, but when we drove out to 29 Palms, like, dude. Like, it was like two celebs came to town. Like, I walked into the grocery store and jaws hit the floor, and I'm pretty sure it was just because I took a shower. Like, I have never seen so many people actively checking me out in my life. And I'm like, is it just because I'm not in a faded Tasmanian devil t-shirt? Like, is this the only reason why? Like, I was wearing a dress and they were like, ooh, someone's bougie in here. Like,
there was a Taz on the back, but yeah. It was a dress, so it was different.
It was for a wedding, so I kept my Taz in the back. But anyway, we have calls today. Do you want to take some? Let's do it.
I'm ready.
Hi, Malls, Christina and guest. I actually left you guys a message. I want to say like 2 weeks ago or something. I was blind drunk, so I definitely went over the cutoff, and I'm pretty sure I just like passed out in my closet afterwards. But same dilemma as last time. I have just sort of started dating this guy. I'm 23 years old. We both live in a big metropolitan city, and he is 20 years older than me, which isn't really that big of a deal, but, you know, I like the wisdom, blah, blah, blah. But the issue is, when we first started dating, he would always, you know, bring up, like, well, like, I have to tell you, like, the super dark secret, like, not even a dark secret, but he would just be like, I have to get it all out on the table. And I'm like, oh, shit, okay, he has, like, HIV or something, like, what is the deal? So I was, like, feeling really shifty about it. So finally one day we're just at lunch, and I'm like, what's going on? And he's like, well, you know, I have an ex-husband that I was with for 15 years, and basically, like, I'm not divorced with him. I'm not, like, completely divorced with him yet. Doesn't really make sense considering, I guess they were together for 15 years. I don't know if they were married for 15 years. But anyways, you know, I really like this guy. He is so different from all the other people I've dated before. He's, like, really cultured. He has, like, 3 degrees from Yale. He's an art dealer. I've sort of just, like, dated, like, losers before, and this guy really likes me. I mean, like, I just got back from vacation with him. We went to, like, the Hamptons for a little bit. And I don't know. It's like, but then I, you know, the guy's an art dealer, but the ex-husband is an artist that he represents, actually. And there's a lot of this guy's art around his houses. And I don't know. It's just, I feel like if I don't say something soon, I've been really chill about the ex-husband and just the fact that it hasn't been, like, finalized. I don't know. When is the right time for me to basically be like, you cannot speak to your ex-husband anymore, or you cannot go to lunch with him, or maybe he needs to come out of your gallery. I don't know. It's sort of a, it's just weird. So, I don't know. Please advise.
I already know I'm going to hurt this guy's feelings.
Are you?
I mean, he's a slam piece, and he's acting like he's wifey number two.
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, he said they just started dating, so I would say the time to ask your sort of boyfriend to, like, stop talking to his ex of 15 years is, like, maybe
never?
in several years when you're together, like when you're, if you guys want to get married or like have a life together,
or if their relationship proves to be toxic. Like, I know one of my two friends, they dated for, you know, they were together for 8 years, and then for the 5 years after, they continued to share a dog. They got a new dog when the other dog died. Like, when one of them started dating again, the other one, like, who was sometimes staying at his place, like crashing there, like not sexually, but just was literally sleeping right on the couch. Like, he would have to be like, hey, I have a new boyfriend, so you can't come over right now. And like, it was just, I was just watching them destroy themselves. And that is a thing that's like, no, if it's that, then like, I would just run. Like, that's a person who's emotionally unhealthy.
Right.
But like, if they're getting a casual lunch, if they have a good working, professional working relationship, I actually think that that's a great sign when someone gets along with their ex.
Yeah, but here's what concerns me, is that he framed it as a dark secret. Like, right. Why did he make it into, like, a thing? And the fact that they're not divorced, like, who really cares? Like, that's, like, divorce takes a long time. And, right, like, if you're not together, you're not together. But, like, if it was, like, you know, this is a big deal and I need to, like, sit you down and tell you this, then, like, maybe it is an issue. Like, maybe there is more going on there.
And I don't know, like, how it would be any different except for the age difference, because, like, but when I've gone out with guys that are divorced, like, I've either known in advance because it's been on their dating profile, or whoever set us up or whatever, it was like, yeah, he was married, but it didn't work out. Or like, I found out on the first date.
Yeah.
And it was like not a big deal. And it was like, yeah, I was married. She's still one of my best friends. It's just, we were best friends. We weren't right lovers.
But
and
it is like, it is an age thing. When you're in your early 20s, like, that's not very common. Like, you no don't meet a lot of divorcees.
And so like, he probably wanted to like drop the bomb on you differently, because yeah, maybe, because also the way the 23-year-olds think is that, like, first of all, when I was 23, someone who was 43 years old was disgusting to me. Like, I was disgusted by someone who was 29 when I was 23.
Right.
Like, I was like, ew, like, you're old as hell. Like, what do you want with me, you pedophile? Like, I couldn't handle age difference. Like, I remember when I was 23, I dated a 32-year-old, and I remember being so ashamed to call my mom. My mom didn't find out for like 5 or 6 years after.
Yeah.
I remember I called my aunt and like confessed it to her, and she's like, why is like, this that big of a deal? Like, what's his, is he a criminal? And I was like, no, he's like a really upstanding guy. It's just, he's 32, which is like super old. And
it's like shocking to think of that as being old, but well, there was a time. No, I mean, totally.
No,
well,
totally.
I mean, I'm 33 now, but at the same time, for me to think of dating a 23-year-old, like, I have friends that do it, that like are women who date younger men, and like, they, some of them love it. Like, you're sexually compatible in like a way that you rarely find that. It's a
right
perfect like Mrs. Robinson sort of situation. But like, it's also, to think of dating a 23-year-old, to me, like, the intellectual component of a relationship is so important. And to be quite honest, I have yet to find a 23-year-old that I feel
or
is
a 25-year-old or a 27-year-old. I mean,
yeah,
it depends. But like, yeah, I always wonder, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with like dating older. I don't like feel any weirdness about that. But I do, like, when I see like a 43-year-old dating a 23-year-old, like, mm-hmm, kind of wonder what they're getting out of it.
Yes.
Aside from a sex thing.
Yeah.
The sex thing makes total sense.
Yeah.
But I, like, you know, and I don't know if there is baggage here and they are like newly together. Like, I, as a 23-year-old, you definitely can find like another man of that age who's also established, who's also what you're looking for, because it sounds like what's appealing to him about the situation is that this guy is more together.
Yes, there's
which
perks
you
as
will
well.
Find with 40 somethings versus 20 somethings. Like, that's just kind of the way it is.
But at the same time, like, if you want to date a put together, more mature person, that requires of you to be a more put together, mature person. I mean, the only 25 year old I know that I'm like, you need to be dating a 30 year old is literally one of like the hardest working people. Frankie. Who's been on this pod before. Like, with Frankie, I'm like, well, no wonder, like, you can't date a guy your age. Like, you are a boss. Like, how could you even deal with a 25-year-old guy?
Yeah.
And
such a boss.
You know, and with this kid, it's like, I just am hearing a lot of, like, there needs to be some growth there is what I'm hearing, is that you need to have some growth maybe before you're ready for, like, until you grow up a little bit, there's no way you're going to be with an older man, and it's not going to be like a daddy situation. Right. And there's not going to be like that inequity there. And
Wags has an opinion on that.
What do you think, honey? Is there a daddy situation going on? Wags just got so like aroused by this. His tail is wiggling. Wags, are you trying to tell me something? But yeah. Ooh. Oh, okay. Thank you, Wags. Wags is in the microphone. But yeah, no, I don't know. I think that you should ride it out. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I do think that this is going to end with like a World War III style fight, because that's how fights go. Like yesterday, someone posted this thing to the Emotionally Broken Psychos Facebook group, mollyandthepsychos.com, that made me so fucking happy. And it was this couple in South Philly. It was a guy and a girl. And she was filming it out of her window. And like, basically, she was throwing all of his stuff at him, but all of his stuff were cleaning supplies. So, like, she, first of all, hits him in the face with, like, a cap of detergent. Sure. Like, and so he gets detergent to the eyes. So he's, like, pissed. And they're screaming, like, my family was right about you. And then she's, like, my family was right about you. And, like, it was this whole, like, which, by the way, is, like, my nightmare sentence. Like, thank God no one has ever screamed that at me during a breakup.
I couldn't handle that. That would destroy me.
Like, oh, great. Your whole family's been
talking about me. Because all I really want in a relationship is for the person's family to be into me.
Oh, yeah. I care about that more than the
person. Way more than the person. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I've dated guys where the family was so into me that I swear to God that that's why I'm not over it. And I've dated guys that were so fucking lovely, but their family was like a little bit bobo. And I just was like, I can't be a part. I can't sit across from this at Thanksgiving. Like,
that country crock moment.
It's that. Okay. So we refer to it. Christina and I are snobs, and we refer to it as like, you know, when you're dating someone and you go to their parents' house for the first time and like they're eating dinner and they go to the fridge to get butter and like the rolls are pre, you know, whatever. You buy your rolls at the grocery store. That's fine. But then the tub of country crock comes out and maybe dad had a heart condition or something. Right. And that's why. But everyone else should have butter. Maybe dad has the country crock, or maybe forgoes it altogether. And Christina and I really feel like, I really feel like I cannot marry a guy if he has country crock. And if he thinks that that's okay, that's not okay with me.
That's not an issue for me, but I'm not judging you for that.
I don't know.
Do you have an equivalency to that?
I don't know. I mean, like, if I made it far enough with people to, like, meet their families, maybe I'd have a different opinion. But it's been quite a while since I met anyone's family. I've only had one boyfriend whose family I, like, knew.
Well,
right.
So, oh,
like, deal breaker for, like, someone you're dating, then.
Oh, I mean, there are a million.
But, like, something in, like, totally, like,
just, like, the way, like, that you were raised, where you know, like, I know this is a snobby thing.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. I mean, I'm trying to think of, like, I don't know. It's usually, like, we'll be talking about, like, theater or movies or something, and they'll just have an opinion that I find to be, like, really upsetting.
Oh,
like, if
right.
someone were, like, you know, because I, like, cover theater for work, and, like, I see a lot of theater, and if someone were, like, my favorite show of all time is Mamma Mia, like, I would probably be like, I can't do this.
Right. Yeah.
And that's a little bit
same.
And that's a little bit snobby, because it's like, you know, that's like a crowd pleasing show. Or
yeah.
if someone was like, I've seen Cats like 18 times. Like, yeah, I would be like, okay, maybe this is not going to work out.
You just don't want someone that basic. That's not really
right.
for you.
It is. Yeah. It's definitely a basic thing. It's not like, it's not like a class thing. It's more like, you know, I feel like we're incompatible. Your interests are incompatible with my interests.
For me, the Mamma Mia version of that is when people are like, what's the movie that you think is the funniest, and people are like, Bridesmaids. And I'm like, so many movies are so, and Bridesmaids is fucking hilarious. But again, crowd pleaser.
Right.
And like, when your mind goes straight to the crowd pleaser, like, I'm kind of like, you're not unique enough for me. Like, I like someone who has a little bit of like an edge to them or something. Like, I really honestly think something more like Death to Smoochie is one of my favorite funny movies, or like something like a Woody Allen movie.
But you want
something
dark.
Yeah,
that's also like, you know, you want like, yeah, you want like a darkness.
Ghost World is like up there for me. Sure. It's like, you know, I just that, but like, first of all, I had no idea how problematic Ghost World was until recently. I mean, I remember at the
time, I haven't watched it in a long time, and I'm afraid to.
They've been doing like exposés on it recently about like why this movie was so problematic, and like it was. I mean, it was problematic from the beginning, but at the time, I think we thought she was making a statement with that piece of art, like the chicken art that she brought into her thing. And she was, and but it just, I don't think the point was driven home that the reason why that was interesting that she won the art fair was because of the thoughts that people were projecting onto it. That wasn't clear enough. And like in Boston in like 2001, when that came out or whatever, like we weren't really having that conversation. So,
It was just like a funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to watch it now too, actually, to like undo that memory.
Sure.
I used to love Kevin Smith too.
Oh yeah, I had a Kevin Smith phase. I mean,
people
didn't we
like
all?
Don't cop to it, and like they're
no,
like, "Oh,
I
Kevin Smith,"
to.
And I'm like, "No, like you love Dave Matthews Band and you love Kevin Smith, and there's nothing fucking wrong with that stage of your life, like
totally.
Under the Table and Dreaming," you know.
I haven't rewatched Kevin Smith in a while, but like I feel like I would still enjoy Dogma because I saw it at the right age.
Oh, Dogma was
like,
great.
Yeah, and you know, and it, I think it kind of goes past like normal Kevin Smith shit.
Yes.
Whereas if I watched like Mallrats or Clerks now, I think I would be like, I can't handle this.
Clerks is, you know, that's the thing is that I don't know if I would think Clerks or Mallrats is more clever now. Part of me thinks that Mallrats was like just a better movie in some ways, but Clerks was like so experimental and interesting and like strange. But yeah.
No, I once, like, I remember going to Blockbuster and renting every Kevin Smith movie and watching them in order, and then watching, like, An Evening with Kevin Smith where he, like, takes questions.
Oh,
about,
yeah,
I, like,
yeah.
I fully, like, was into Kevin Smith.
But, like, people who don't like him really don't like him.
Right.
And that's, like, to me, it's, like, why? Like, I don't think there's anyone I dislike like that.
Yeah. I also think people who are, like, people feel a lot of anger toward whoever they were like really into that they kind of grew out of. You sort of feel like resentful of that you had a Kevin Smith phase.
I actually read this article the other day that's like the six stages of like enjoying a podcast or loving a podcast. And it starts out with like curiosity and then like the initial stage where you're excited about it. And then like deep obsession where you're in the Facebook group and you're like talking about it to everyone you know and your conversations are around it. And then there's like, it starts to wear on you a little bit and then you unfollow it and then you start to listen again because you've realized that like maybe it's not all that emotional, you know, but it is. It made me like, first of all, it made me incredibly aware of a situation that I'm in all the time because I'm always like, I'm so sick of myself. I don't know why this podcast still gets listens. Like, I really am like, I would just be like, shut up, Molly. Like, I really would. Yeah. Oh my God, the Facebook group's going off about my Jenny Jizz mug. Do you know who Jenny Jizz is?
No.
Okay, so she's a Snapchat porn star who's like very, very important to me. She
is her shtick that she's like has jizz on her?
So she like is a cum slut. And so she does
Who Among Us.
She does blow bangs, which means that like she will have like basically they'll put like her husband, cum artist, he will put up on his Snap like Holiday Inn, like something something Orlando Drive, like blah blah blah, Hollywood, Florida,
right?
And then like a bunch of like dudes will show up and she like they will circle around her,
right?
And she will sit in the middle and suck all of them off, and like all the other guys are like jerking off while she's sucking off one of them, and like it's always like faceless dudes, like you never see the faces.
Don't need to in that scenario.
And sometimes it'll be really sad. Like, it'll be like a guy just like has too much pressure on him. And so, like, he's soft as fuck. And Jenny just keeps sucking. Like, she really puts in the work. And that's what I do. I enjoy persistence and consistency in a person.
Nevertheless, she persisted.
Are you okay with this?
I'm fine with it. It's just
you're
like,
so
it
red.
Blows my mind right now because if I were saying this stuff, you'd be like, ugh, Christina, gross. You're such a. Like, you're such a perv. You're such a freak. Yeah. You freak. And so I'm just like, it's not fair. The inequality of this is really just getting.
No, I mean, that's also the truth.
Just the thought of you watching like someone. It's basically porn. You're watching porn.
No,
Molly.
I know I'm watching porn. And I also know I also know that I tweet about the porn. I report on it. Right. I take screenshots. So this was like, there was a really big event that meant a lot to me coming up, which was that Jenny and Come Artist had VIP tickets to Daughtry and Nickelback with their friend Pornicket Adam that I think they bought when Pornicket was still with his girlfriend. Naughty Alicia. And then Naughty Alicia and Pornicket had a really bad breakup. So he needed to get someone to have the VIP ticket. And like someone in my Facebook group did try to go to the concert. Like she tried to drive down from New York to go to Florida to go to Naughty with our mom and dad, Come Artist and Jenny. And like, thank God she didn't go. He wound up taking this girl, Roxy Ray, who, you know, I mean, literally after she did a downward dog in a Denny's parking lot with full asshole exposed. Like they take their tits out everywhere they go. They eat at chain restaurants every night. It's always, she wears a lot of mesh tops so her nip can slip through one of the little mesh holes.
It sounds kind of country crock.
Oh, it's very country crock. And that's really what it's all. I mean, look, I'm never going to marry Comer. First of all, I wouldn't do that to Jenny. Right. I mean, I'm really in this for Jenny. And like what I love about Jenny, too, is that she's such a good girlfriend. Like she literally like two other women, like she obvious she's so sick of her husband sometimes. Like you could tell like she was not really feeling Roxy Ray, that she's like, who is this fucking tryhard? I'm a star. Like, I guess Roxy's big enough for some people. She's like a big enough cam girl. But like Jenny's a fucking, she's in a league of her own.
Yeah.
And like, she's so kind. And, like, just watching them go buy beers together and, like, Come Artist is, like, zooming in on their asses or whatever. Like, you're just watching this on Snapchat. But, like, Jenny's, like, putting her arm on her shoulder and being like, what kind of beer do you want? And I'm just like, Jenny, like, you don't even know her. And you're so nice. And, like, you guys are going to hook up in the parking lot after this. Roxy drank her piss in the parking lot at the Daughtry and Nickelback show.
Ugh, after beer, though, I feel like that'd be so gross.
Yeah, that's definitely the rub.
Honestly, my unsolicited advice is if you do want to drink pee ever, you should make sure the person like drinks a lot of water first.
Yes, yeah.
You it don't should want be the... as clear as possible.
Like, is urine safe to drink or no?
It is.
It is.
It is safe to drink. Right. I mean, there are like slight risks to it.
Sure.
But not enough that I would say don't drink pee.
Right.
Like, definitely drink pee if you want to drink pee.
If you're like, if that's your fetish.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's fine. But I do think you should not drink pee after someone's been having beer because it would just
scat
gross.
Shit is wild to me.
That's the thing is, like, I don't think pee is weird. Like, urine is sterile.
Oh, yeah.
And, like,
urine
and
is different.
It's not that gross. But, like, anything with, like, because I don't really believe in pooping as a concept.
No,
like,
I'm not into it.
Even like to acknowledge that it exists. Like, so I can't with that.
Yeah.
Like, have I looked out of curiosity? Absolutely. Yeah. Do I want to die after? Yes.
Yeah.
But, like, I can't do it.
Do you think, this is, like, so not relevant, but, like, do you think that, like, two girls, one cop, do you think that was actual shit?
I do. I do think it was real.
Ugh.
Sorry. I mean,
no,
like, I wish
I mean,
it
it's
weren't.
Not your fault, but, like, what did they all do to give themselves diarrhea?
I mean.
Take a bunch of laxatives?
Yeah, like, or a handful of stool softeners.
Oh, yeah.
Because those are fine. You can take a bunch of those.
They're creative.
Yeah.
I have to say.
They find a way.
They really are creative. I do have to say also, though, that Jenny's getting so big that I don't know if she's safe anymore. Because, like, it'll be, like, 30 guys and Jenny.
Do they vet them?
No. And, like.
That worries me.
And I'm like, Come Artist can't beat up all 30 of these guys.
Right.
Like,
is she, like, always on antibiotics? Like, how do you, like, avoid gonorrhea of the throat?
Literally, it makes me so upset that she blows. I mean, no, she's not going to do a condom blowjob.
No.
Like, those aren't real. Those are from movies. So.
I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a condom blowjob.
Lifetime movies. Lifetime movies.
No, I mean, like, listen. Like,
you have to put a banana on a dick. Or a condom on a banana.
I've theoretically heard of the condom blowjob, and that's why they make flavored condoms, but, like, ever gotten off from a condom blowjob.
Is that why they make flavored condoms?
That is why they make flavored condoms.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
What? Curious.
Because, like, why not taste, like latex and vague chocolate flavor?
See, that's what's so gross about it. That's what's so gross about it, is that, also, too, like, My mom, I went to a sex shop with my friends in high school, like after school one day, and we bought 3 condoms and we did a Neapolitan. We got a chocolate, a vanilla, and a strawberry. And then we blew one up on the subway as a balloon.
Yeah.
And then I had 2 other condoms in my pocket. We blew up the strawberry one. So my mom's going through my shit.
Ugh.
And she's like, who would Molly be having sex with?
Right.
And she confronted me and was like, are you having sex? And I was like, no, mom, we bought those to like blow them up on the tee and like make balloons out of them. We were just being like, we thought it would be funny to go into the sex shop and like laugh at the bondage gear. Right. Like we didn't like.
No, I got, when I was in high school, I definitely was having sex and I bought condoms for my friend who was having sex. So she was afraid to buy them.
Yeah.
And then of course that was the receipt that I like left in my pocket. My mom found and was like, what is Trojan 12 count? And I was like, you know what it is, but I'm not, it's not for me. It's definitely not for me.
How much sex did you have in high school? Like, did you have multiple partners? Do you mind
no,
if I ask?
No, I didn't have sex. Well, no, I hooked up with one person when I was a senior in high school.
Yeah.
Two people. One person and maybe, like, one the summer after.
Yeah.
But I didn't, like, really start having sex until college.
Yeah. No, I had my one high school boyfriend that, like, I, like, lost my virginity to late. And I,
but
like,
there
I
weren't,
made him
there
like
weren't,
a year.
Like, there weren't gays in my high school. Like, right. Like, I feel
that
like
you knew
I was
of.
Right, but, like, I was sort of, like, when I was a senior, like, I was, like, sort of out to people, and, like, that was, like, crazy. Whereas, like, as I was leaving, there were, like, gay freshmen coming in. Like, it changed so much, like, generationally.
Where, oh,
like,
it's people so coming different out
a lot
now.
Younger. But, like, when I was in high school, like there was no Gay Straight Alliance. Like, there were no, I didn't know any gay people. So it was, like, you found the one person who was, like, I'm curious, and you hooked up with that person.
Right.
That was it.
Well, like, literally, I went to a different school for my freshman year than I did for my main school. And like, I went to public school in Lexington, Mass. So like, it was, you know, it was a big public school. There was a lot of people there. It was a very good school. There was like maybe one person who I don't think he ever said the words I'm gay, but it just was very obvious. He was the one male cheerleader. Like he only hung out with girls. Like right. He loved drag, like very like always down to do that. But like, my first high school that I went to, we were a class of 45.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding you when I say, probably 15 of those guys came out.
Yeah.
And like, it was a volume thing.
Yeah.
Like, I just was like, is there a reason why people are more afraid in public school to come out? Or is like literally this just the gayest high school in America?
Something in the water.
Yeah, I guess so. Turning us all gay. Okay. Well, I'm going to take the next call. I don't know about you, but let's do that. Let's see where I'm at on my mug sales. I've sold no mugs so far. No mugs.
Give it time.
I will.
Hey, Molly and Christina. It's Krista calling again because you guys said you needed calls on the episode I was just listening to. And I realized I know this phone number by heart. So I just took out the AV jack and gave you a call. My question is, what do you think about people dating when they're super, super depressed? Because I am super, super depressed right now. I'm dealing with probably the worst depression kind of spiral, I guess, that I've had in a really long time. I've had to up my medication. Like, I'm feeling good. But I'm still kind of, like, on the apps and going on dates. And, like, I know people say all the time, which I think is bullshit, that, like, you have to, like, love yourself before you can love somebody else, or like, how are you gonna love yourself before you love whatever, dumb bullshit like that. And I'm not sure if it is dumb bullshit actually, because I don't know if it's responsible to date when you're super depressed. So what do you think? Let me know and have a blessed day. I appreciate and love both of you.
Oh, you know, like 323-450-7408 by heart. It is a pretty good phone number. Christina picked that out, right?
I did.
You
yeah.
picked that out. It's good. It doesn't spell anything. But
that makes it more impressive when they remember it, though, because then it's like they truly just are a diehard fan.
And if you want to call Emotion Broken Psychos, it's 415 Psychos, which is cool that we got Psychos. That was really like...
No, that's awesome.
It's like a San Francisco number, but it was just important to us to get...
Love a 415.
Psychos.
Yeah.
But, okay. Don't do it. That's what I was saying as you were. I was just like, don't do it. Yeah. I have. Have you dated depressed? You deal with depression, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was just thinking of myself. No, I was thinking
like,
of myself.
Obviously, you deal with depression.
No,
you're
no,
a writer. You deal with depression.
Of course. No, of course. I mean, like, I don't think that, like, I know that it's a cliche to be like, you have to love yourself to date, to like, love someone else. I mean, it's a little bit reductive, but I don't think it's untrue.
It's
I don't
not
think.
Untrue at all.
I just think that, like, I think of how many relationships that I feel like I have self-sabotaged because I was in the wrong place for them. And, like, mm-hmm. they were perfectly good people and it would have worked out maybe had I been in a better place.
Yes.
But I was just not able to give anything of myself.
I mean.
And you can fake it for a while, mm-hmm. you know, and, like, you maybe don't read as depressed to other people. Like, you know, you kind of can get out there. Like, I've always been very functional about my anxiety and depression.
100%. And they don't know you.
Right. And they don't, and they have no idea. And so, when you're canceling plans or, like, you know, suddenly show up and you don't want to talk at all, it just seems like you're an asshole when really, like, you're dealing with some shit and you can't fake it anymore.
Yeah.
But I wish that I had waited and not tried really hard. And also, like, I think it's impossible to not think on some level that you're going to find a relationship that will fix you.
Right.
Which is not going to happen.
It's like you feel like, oh, I have nothing right now, so I need something. But, like, a person is not an object, and, like, that's an actual human being that you were inflicting your shit upon. And, like, I very selfishly, I've talked about this before, right after my breakup a few years ago, got right on Tinder, like, a month. I think, like, a week later, I got on Tinder because I just was, like, my biggest hurdle in that breakup was, will anyone ever love me again?
Right.
Will I ever be as loved as I was in this? Was that it for me? It's just not cool to use other people as a science experiment. And
we all do it.
And we all do it, but not really. I mean, like, well, I will also say that, like, there's nothing that I feel more guilt about than what, and this person is, like, engaged now. The person that I dated after my last big relationship, we were together for, like, 3 months, and, like, he's engaged now. He's, like, literally one of the nicest guys. Like, he honestly probably does not give a shit about the way I treated him, but I will say that, like, I feel ashamed. Like, I have shame for the way that I treated him, and I feel very badly about it, and it's something that I have to carry with me. And so that's just another thing that I have to also now work through, because I was like, you used and abused another person because you were too emotionally lazy to get it together on another level. Like, yeah. You were just like, I need a Band-Aid right now. And you don't treat people like that. And you can acknowledge you're depressed. But I will say also, when I've dated depressed, the type of person I attract is a garbage person. Like, the type of people who are really, really into me when I'm depressed are either super nice guys that are clueless and are just trying to make it work with a girl because it's an opportunity to, like, make it work with a girl. You know, I think that people are the same way that women often go after bad boys. Men like the bad girls, too, like the unattainable. And when I'm in a...
It's Lana Del Rey's whole aesthetic. So, you know,
exactly.
Clearly it's working for someone.
When I'm in a bitchy place, like, when I'm in a place in my life where I technically can't emotionally be in a relationship, but I want to be in one. I am that girl. And I've noticed it's very attractive to the wrong kinds of guys.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean, a lot of times they're guys that I'm like, I will swallow you whole. Like, we can't date because I will kill you. Like, it's not even like with my hands or anything. Like, just by being myself, this will really affect your life. And that is... I really think you deserve better than that. And, like, if you want to go out and do what I call, like, practice dating or just, like, entertainment dating or whatever else, like, you have to be honest about that in your profile. And I think we all hate that person on Tinder who's like, I'm just here to have fun. But, like, really,
better
honestly.
Better that than I'm just here to find, like, hiking buddies, because go fuck yourself.
Yeah, but it's
outdoor, like, kids don't need to use apps and they shouldn't be on them. And that is my take on that.
No, but I mean, saying, you know, like, lie. Say I just got out of a relationship, or, you know, like, I haven't been dated a lot in a while, so I thought I'd try this out to see if I can meet some, you know, different people and get back on the dating.
I mean, I will say, like, on the other side of this is that, like, depression never entirely goes away, and people who are depressed deserve love, and, like, mm-hmm. you shouldn't, like, I don't think that there's a rule that, like, if you're depressed, you should never date.
Right.
I think it's more like you have to know where you're at. So if you're, like, in the middle of a depressive episode and you know that you can't be with someone right now, like, then you should not be dating. But if you are someone who is prone to depression, like, and you want to try dating someone, I think the key is just to be really open about that and, mm-hmm. like make sure they're on the same page with you and, like, be upfront about the things you're dealing with and that you do deal with, which like is going to be a deal breaker for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But like, you're going to have to find someone who's going to be patient with you. And, you know, there's a chance that you're going to end up in another depressive episode. But I think if you're in the middle of one right now, like, maybe don't be on Tinder.
I also think that it's very important to recognize, essentially, like, it's important to recognize how your depression manifests. Like, is it toxic to other people, or are you mostly like hurting yourself? Like, because if it's, if you're the kind of person who's like not going to like literally bring down someone's world, like, because you are depressed, maybe you can swing it. I just don't know. I don't like the attitude of that's bullshit. Like, if you can't love yourself, I don't think you're putting the work in. And right. In a relationship, I had someone say this to me once because I was doing a ton of work and the person I was with was not doing any work. And I had them say to me, like, in a relationship, like, when one partner is working on themselves and the other one isn't, like, one is climbing a ladder of like emotional growth and the other one is staying still. Yeah. And like, you can't have that. Both people have to be working on themselves. So if you are kind of have this attitude like, oh, self-work, self-care is bullshit, like, then that's what you're, I mean, you're going to attract that, or you're going to lose a great person. So
yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm very self-destructive and like my depression is much more inward facing and I can be normal with other people. But at the same time, like, eventually it always catches up to me with someone else.
Yes.
So like, I might be able to like, you know, treat someone else well while I'm treating myself like garbage. But yeah. Like, after a few months, I'm going to start treating them like garbage too, because they're going to be a thing that makes me happy or might make me happy, and I will ruin that as well.
Yeah, well, that's the saying of, you know, for the first 6 months of any relationship, you're dating someone's representative, and like, sometimes even your depressed self can send in a better representative, right. Especially if you're like, oh, this guy's good. Like, I don't want to let this go. But, you know, at the same time, I do think that if you, what you were saying, like, oh, I kind of squandered that or whatever, like, I think that that person was a lesson for you. I really do think that people come in and out of your life for a reason, and that, like, you know, you reflect certain things on a certain people, and you always do better in relationships. I really do have a belief in that. Like, you never regress unless you're getting into substance or right. Something like that, but you never really regress. So just remember, like, don't beat yourself up about that, you or me. That's a lesson.
I mean,
I try.
One of the hardest things I think to accept that I've been trying to work on is that, like, there are so many reasons that relationships don't work out, and a lot of it is a matter of timing. And like, it's just sometimes you're just in the wrong place in your life with someone who might otherwise be great.
100%.
And you can't just beat yourself up about that, even though I do it all the time.
I do take comfort in knowing that, like, out of all of my exes, like, only like one is like engaged or like has made major progress. I'm like, well, it's not me. So how does that feel? It's also you.
There you go.
You're also a mess. All right. I think we should take our next call. Thanks for calling, Krista.
Hi, Molls. I mean, this is probably the third message you've had tonight, and all of them have been from me because I'm so emotionally broken. My sister told me I need to be more concise with my thing that I need to be advised upon. So here's the situation. I slept with a guy that I work with. I'm in marketing. He's in sales. He's 21 years older than me. I'm leaving the company to go to grad school in a different country. And I'm pretty sure he's sleeping with another coworker. And she called me to complain about someone spreading a rumor about them sleeping together. I didn't spread that rumor. But also, like, I mean, they 100% are sleeping together. And she wanted me to feel bad for them. Here's my thing. Should I know things about technology. Should I send him a text anonymously being like, yo, literally everyone knows that you're having affairs. And here's the thing. I know it's really, really fucking shitty that I slept with him even though he's married. He told me, I was 23 when it happened. He told me he was in a loveless marriage. That doesn't excuse it, whatever. But she's like 37, he's 47. I mean, I'm pretty sure they've slept together, but I kind of want to call him out for it because he's made me feel like such a nothing. Anyways, please advise, should I text him anonymously because I know how to do that and so does everyone in the world? Or should I just leave it and move on with my life? Or am I a horrible person? Thanks, girl. Bye. Also, I'm from outside of Boston. like, if that gives you any simpatico feelings. I'm your people. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Guys, update. I've made $3.30 so far from my mug sales because I, too, know about technology.
Congratulations.
First of all, like, we were kind of roasting you a little bit behind the scenes because it's like you made it sound like it's a fucking Black Mirror episode or something. It's like you sent an anonymous text.
What?
It's like, isn't there just like a website
to
for
be,
that?
To be fair, I would have to Google that. Like, I don't know off the top of my head. Like, I would have to look it
but
up.
How do you think she found out?
No, like, I mean, I don't think like, she was like, yeah, I don't think she
on a cellular knowledge.
Tech wizard. Yeah, no, for sure. For sure.
But yeah, anyway. Christina said something which I don't necessarily agree with, but because I'm a little bit petty, but you Christina said, what did you cry out?
I was like, this has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
Like, drop it. Why are you so obsessed with it? Like,
because she got penetrated by this man.
I don't think it has nothing to do with her, but I feel like if you're already leaving the country, like, leave the country.
Leave the country.
Like, there's no reason to drag this out. And, like, there's already...
Why does it have anything to do with her? She just... The only thing she did was sleep with him. And, right, like, nobody in the office knows about
but
that.
But I'm saying, like, you know, I understand why she has...
feelings or something.
Right. I understand why she's upset. And, like, it's skeezy when, like, a married, like, 40-something guy, like, sleeps with his 23-year-old coworker. Like, that's...
No, right. It is.
And I understand that because of the, like, the disparity there, like, there's going to be some weird feelings that often come attached to that. Like, you're going to develop some sort of weird, like, the whole thing is, like, sketchy, and, like, I don't blame her for feeling a certain way about it.
And but she knew he was married.
Well, you know, at 23, yeah. you think you can be the one. Like, you are more deluded at that age than you ever are. Why? Because you're fucking hot. You're in your prime. Like, you're, if I knew I was 23 when I was 23, I'd be living a very different life. I'll tell you that. I had no idea to, like, harness my youth. I was just like, wow, I can't wait to be a grown up. But no, you think you can change someone and you really think, like, oh, well, is there something wrong with my mic? You really think, like, oh, you know, he treats everyone else like this, but I'll be the exception to it. Or maybe he'll love me more. Like, maybe I'll be the fun, fresh, exciting thing. Maybe it's his wife's fault. You know, I did hear him say she said something bitchy once. Right. I don't think I'd want to be married. You, like, go through these things that are just, once you reach a certain point in your life, you're going to look back on that and be like, well, that was fucking ridiculous. Like, that was bananas. And, like, also...
And I think she knows that now.
Right.
It sounds like she gets that. Like, I don't think she's, like, trying to make it
then
work.
Then why
is
she trying to get revenge?
Well, the other thing that's weird to me is that, like, if the rumors are already out there, you don't have to add to it. Like, it's going to get back to him anyway.
Right.
He's clearly, like... And also, like, if he really is, like, banging, like, everyone at the company, like, it will come out eventually with and or without an anonymous text.
Also, like, do people care? And, like, also, do you think it won't be obvious to him who is sending that text even if it's anonymous?
Right.
Like, who's invested enough? Like, first of all, I would be so afraid. I worry about, like, I mean, I know enough about, like, faked ransom notes and shit like that that I know, like, what if I, like, tip my hand with a speech pattern or something?
Right.
Or, like, I say a word that I caught a girl talking shit about me simply because she uses the same word all the time. That's why I think that Amanda Bynes's, like, fake Twitter profile, the fake Twitter.
Right.
I think it is really her because she starts a lot of tweets with, quite frankly, which is something that Amanda Bynes says all the time. Quite frankly. Yeah. So, anyway.
She seems really chill now.
Bynes?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Like lithium chill.
I mean, I hope.
Same.
I mean, it's just also, like, I think that she really does. I mean, I think that I can't imagine. Like, I think she has a serious diagnosis. I don't think it's just bipolar 2 or something. I think it's bipolar 1 in combination with something else. And
right.
If I have to speculate on a mental illness. But that said, like, that's a real battle, almost like sobriety, where it's like people who deal with that are oftentimes really quick to go off their medication and then mm-hmm. they have to get back on. And it's like starting all over again. And, you know, I'm probably not the best person to speak to that. I hope you guys all know that. But I also can say that, like, that's... yeah, that's this fucking rough road.
Separate issue.
Anyway, listen. So I wrote down some things when you called, which was that number one, and this is why I think it's also probably fucking with her a little bit. You buried the lead that he was married significantly. And so everything leading up to this was like, you're in sales, you're in marketing, he's in sales, he's 21 years old, you have to move out of the country. And I'm like, Get Kate Hudson on the line. Like, I think we've got the movie that's going to reinvigorate her career, like, unfolding before us. Like, is this man going to move to Spain and be a salesperson in Spain?
Right.
Maybe. Like, I went to that place immediately because I also, deep down, am still a psychotic girl and have, like, unrealistic expectations of what will happen in life.
Sure.
But a psychotic girl as opposed to a grown-ass woman. But... Yeah, no, I thought it was strange that you didn't think to mention he was married first off. Like, that to me just shows that you're a little bit mentally disorganized when it comes to this and that you're not thinking about it clearly. That's always a sign to me when I notice I'm telling a story out of order or something that I'm not considering the most important facts.
Yeah.
And I would look at that really as the ultimate fact, is that he is a married man. He's probably not going to leave his wife. If he's, you know, 21 years older than you, he's probably been married for at least, you know, 10 years or something like that. If the guy has kids or whatever, girl, lost cause. Like, you need to chalk this up to, like, the game of life and just move on. Like, things happen sometimes, you know, and it sucks.
And but here's the thing, is it seems like it's less about getting revenge against him as it is about this other woman. It seems like there's some jealousy happening with this woman who she thinks he slept with.
Well, I think
actually
that's also the part of the younger girl narrative where it's like
this 37-year-old woman who,
you're
like,
quick to blame another woman.
Right.
Like, I actually had this exact scenario happen, except I was dating the guy.
Right.
And we were, like, basically in a relationship. And I found out that he was kind of two-timing me with another woman in the office. And she was significantly older than me. And I didn't know that they were together or whatever, hooked up a couple times, and we went to a party together, this woman and I, and, like, I had a few too many beers. Again, I was 23, and so I was just like, hey, you know, so-and-so and I are, like, hooking up, right? And, like, she shut down.
Yeah.
Like, it was never the same between us again.
Yeah.
And, like, to this day, I do not really know what happened between them, but me saying that to her did something to her that I can't – I just wouldn't – If I could take it back, I would.
Yeah. Isn't it weird that, like, I think about all the fuckboys who have, like, done terrible shit to me, and the people that I always feel the – like, I never blame them. It's always the people who they're also sleeping with that I feel the angriest about. Like,
yeah.
I don't – even though they're the ones who are at fault, I fucking hate – the other guys that they're doing the same thing to.
Regardless of the age. The thing that, like, I get the most upset about is I'm like, you think that you can fuck that person and me? Like, you think that we're on the same menu? Like, we are not on the same menu, honey. Okay, there's McDonald's and then there's some fancy ass place.
There's country crock and then there's real ass butter.
And I'm the real butter, baby. Okay, go get your country crock pussy somewhere else. Okay. But, like, I'm not... You know, that's more like the place where I get offended. But I have found, like, over the years, I've actually found a lot of my exes, ex-girlfriends to be fucking delightful people.
Yeah.
And, like, I would rather be friends with them anyway. And we both got fucked over by this guy. And, like, why don't we just be cool? And so I try to actively use that when feeling jealous or feeling jealousy. I don't
that's
like
smart.
It. Yeah.
But it's a bad feeling, and it's like, I just feel like my like resentment is always misplaced.
Do you think this woman, why is a 37-year-old woman calling a 23-year-old and saying that you're afraid there's office gossip about you?
Because I think she thinks that the 23-year-old started the gossip.
Oh,
that was I think that she was accusing her of spreading the rumor.
Oh,
that's what I thought too.
Do you think that she knows that this girl slept with the guy
yes.
too?
Yes.
Yeah, and do you think that the girl knows that she knows too?
She should, because why else would she be calling her?
I just want you to think about that, because you didn't mention it, and I want you to know that I think that she knows you also slept with him.
I think everyone knows everything.
I mean, just assume.
I think it sounds like everyone knows everything, and you don't need to send any texts, because it's all out there,
and
you should get away from the situation, which you're doing. So, like, good for you.
Little puppy dog. I feel so bad because I have been that naive child that does not know that everyone's talking about me.
I feel like if she sends the text... then that'll be confirmation for him or her that it was her who started it.
Especially make sure if you do send it, Do it at home when you're drunk. Do not do it on a work computer, because if it comes up, that could be an HR issue for you.
Yeah.
If you even are looking at that site, if you have ever Googled that site at work, do just not do that, because it will come up as an HR issue if there's a threat in the workplace to this guy's phone, and he could show it to the bosses and be like, I'm not sleeping with anyone. Whoever sent me this is psychotic. And like, to, you know, when you do a psychotic action, unfortunately, I've learned this the hard way, even if it's justified, you are the person who did the psychotic action.
Yeah.
And like, that's so
you
history.
You lose all the moral high ground.
Exactly. History will always say that you were in the wrong, when in fact, like, you're having a reaction to someone else's behavior. So just, you know, go get your foreign dick on. I don't know what to say. Like,
and you will, because no one goes abroad and doesn't have a lot of sex.
Yeah. I like need to do that without my family or when I'm single. Like, I've been abroad with my family,
you
and
said
I've
that
been
like
abroad
a fact.
With a boyfriend.
Like, the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, and you can't
honestly,
go
like,
abroad
given,
without
given,
having
given, sex. Given my personal experience, you absolutely can go abroad and have zero sex. So I don't know why I said that. But in my mind, this woman will have a lot of sex abroad.
But like only losers, right?
Right. Only losers.
Okay, girl. Well, talk to you soon.
Hey, Malls, Christina, and guest. So I actually, this just happened at work and it's still bothering me. So if I sound angry, it's because I'm like fresh off the annoyance train. Basically, so I work in a small office. I'm a graphic designer on an in-house design team, and we're all really close, and we talk about, like, you know, stuff that's not, like, super office PC, but, like, you know, I don't know, everyone's on the same page. Also, a Trader Joe's just opened up down the street from where we work. It's, like, a 2-minute walk. Okay, 10-minute walk, whatever. And so anyway, like, we've all been going there for lunch every day, and everyone's like trying new shit, and like sometimes it smells weird, and like most of the time it's fine and no one really cares. But there's this one guy who is also like not my direct manager, but like a senior, like he's not in charge of me, but has more authority than I do, who like seems to just solely have a problem with the food that I eat. And like the smells, and we're also in a basement office, so most people eat at their desk. It's kind of a pain in the ass to like, I don't know, it just, that's just the way it is. So anyway, he mused this rule that was like, oh, well, I think if, you know, someone is bothered by the smell of someone else's food, then that person should have to eat outside. And I was like, okay, well, I think that if we're going to do that, we should just make an all or nothing rule where, like, if you're going to eat, you eat outside, because I don't think it's fair that to single people out like that, you know? And like, what bothers you might not bother anyone else. It's just easier. And then, but no, like, don't do that, because I don't fucking know. But anyway, the thing that bothers me is, what I was eating at the time was a hummus with like garlic sauce on it, which, yeah, garlic, whatever. But there's at least two other people I know in the office who eat that same food, and he has never said anything to them about it. In fact, the only time he really mentions the smell of food is like when it's my food. I also happen to be the largest person in the office. I'm fat, like Lindy West, like adopting the word fat, but I mean, that's what I am doing. I am adopting the word fat. I'm still, like, I'm not huge. Like, I can still shop mostly straight sizes. But, you know, like, sometimes it is hard to go into an H&M and find stuff that's, like, not, like, making me want to die. But anyway, that's just, like, a little bit of context for that. I don't know. I just feel like, now, apparently, the new rule is if someone is bothered by the smell of someone's food, then that person just gets asked to leave. And I feel like if I say I'm bothered by anyone else's food now, it'll just seem like petty retaliation, when actually, like, a couple of things. First of all, I'm a recovered bulimic, so, and I'm still, like, struggling with it. It's not, like, I don't binge and purge daily, but it's something that crosses my mind daily. And, you know, if you talk to any addict or any eating disorder person, it's like you're always in it. Like, on a personal note, I would actually prefer if no one ate in the office, because then I don't have to see, you know, it's really nice. Sometimes people go to Trader Joe's and they'll buy cookies or, like, cake, and they'll put it out for everyone. But it is really hard, like, I can avoid those foods if I don't buy them, but it's fucking hard when every day at work you walk in and there's just like a plethora of junk food out. You know, but I mean, I've been dealing with it because that's part of being in an office. I also like have mild misophonia, which means I get that like anger, like irritation at certain sounds. And like sometimes people chewing drives me fucking insane. So I put on headphones and I listen to podcasts. Two of which, Please Advise and Mother May I Sleep With podcast, is like how I get through the day. You know, it's not a big deal. It's just, you know, part of being in an office and like having to be around 12 different people at a time. So I guess I'm just wondering, like, how do I deal with like A, feeling singled out because of my weight, B, like standing up for myself and having it not seem like petty retaliation? Because at this point, I feel like if I tell someone, hey, like that sound or that food is bothering me, can you go outside? Like, I don't really want to do that to begin with, but I feel like if I'm going to be forced to eat outside or whatever, like, fuck them. Like, I'm going to tell them to do that too. And then the other thing too was, actually, I don't really remember. Oh, the other thing I was going to add, I am actually leaving this job in about 4 months. Me and my boyfriend are moving to a new city. I do generally enjoy this job, but it's also, I'm in that weird spot where like, I want to be happy for the remainder of the 4 months, but I also don't feel like I need to, you know, it's not a situation where it's like, oh, maybe I should consider finding like a more agreeable workplace because like, I already am going to, I just like want to deal with this as it is right now. So please advise. Thank you.
Hey, so, at first, my thought was, I think you probably agree, like, she was probably just, like, his bitch eating crackers. Like, it was just, like, anything she does is going to piss him off. Right. For some reason, she has a target on her back.
Right.
Maybe she's too talkative. Maybe it's whatever. It took a real fucking turn.
Yeah.
When you shared with us that you consider yourself fat, that this is definitely a thing that you
You're the biggest
have.
Person in the office.
Right.
Which, I'm believing that's true.
I believe her, yeah.
And I also absolutely believe she's being singled out and, because she's fat.
100%.
There's no doubt.
Even if it's subconscious, he's doing right. it. You know, like that is why he's doing it. It's not dissimilar.
Because
to...
for people, like, this is something that like fat people deal with, that mm-hmm. like when you eat and you're fat, you are considered to be doing something disgusting.
Yes.
Regardless of what you're eating or how you're eating it, it doesn't matter. People see you and judge you because you are fat and you are in their mind making yourself fatter, and it is a disgusting mm-hmm. thing to them. So that is something that like is, like you said, it's an unconscious bias that many people feel, but they will feel like revulsion about that
mm-hmm.
and that's a very real thing, and it fucking sucks.
It sucks. And it sucks to the extent that like I have very good friends who are overweight or fat or whatever word you want to use, and they do not eat in front of me
yeah.
like because of it. And it sucks when I like and like we go out to dinner sometimes and I'm eating alone and they're like just, you know, they have like an iced tea or something. And I'm like, man, like I want to eat with my friend, you know, like this sucks.
I used to have a no eating rule on dates forever.
Oh, yeah,
and like,
me too.
And
I don't like to put
which
things
I know
in
is
my
like
mouth.
I mean, a lot of people don't like to like eat on dates for various reasons, but I like didn't want anyone to see me eating who would like. Like, I was like, if they see me eating, they'll never want to have sex with me.
Right. Well,
no matter what I get. So like, then it would be like, I'll eat a salad.
I get very snobby about table manners, but like the act of like mastication, like chewing to me, like thinking about someone swallowing, the spit in their mouth,
right.
like thinking about all of that is so disgusting to me. And I have said before that I hate food. Like, I'm not a food person. Like, it's not my passion. That's not true. I used to have a different relationship, and I think that I was around so many people that relied on food as a comfort. Like, when I'm upset and something's going on and there's a bowl of chips out and someone in the room is still eating chips, I'm like, how can you eat chips right now? Like, there's a disaster going on. Like, how are you even finding – but I know that that's how some people
yeah.
react to it. But I also – I think that it's also a complex I have because I was a chubby kid. Now, I will tell you this, is that – I have been singled out in a workplace before myself. Like, I've become the bitch eating crackers in a place for probably a much more on me reason. Like, probably I was being annoying or probably I talked too much or whatever. And I'll own that. But, like, what I did in the face of being quote unquote bullied, I don't believe an adult can really be bullied. I have to say that. Like, that is... I am one of those people that kind of feels that way, that it's like, yeah, you can be picked on, you can be terrorized, you can have all this stuff happen to you,
harassed,
but like
yeah.
bullying is really like, that's a word reserved for school children, in my mind. But I can't, I don't know what to do. That's I'm going to turn it over to you, Lewis, because I, in the face of that, I have broken. And yeah. The only thing I can suggest to you is to do whatever you can to make sure that you don't break, because that's all. I mean, for me, it was a game of survival. At this point, it sounds like you're trying to just survive the job.
Well, I mean, I know what I would do, which is to eat outside every day, to not let it get to a point where they ask me to leave. Like, out of like a...
Yes.
Like, and I don't think that's the right thing to do in terms of like, that's not what they deserve. But I think that's the best way forward in terms of like just avoiding this entirely.
Your mental health as well. And
right.
Like,
but also, if you want to talk to someone in HR right before you leave and say and talk about this stuff, I don't think that's there's anything wrong with that.
No, if you do exit reviews at your job, especially if you are like changing careers or whatever, like I really think that that's something that you almost have to do, to be honest. Because I have come to the conclusion that outside of my industry, other people don't have the same relationship with HR. And like to in my profession, in TV writing, and I'm sure even in yours.
Yeah.
If you go to HR, you're never going to fucking work again. Like, it's just...
We have a good HR department, but it depends on where you're working, obviously. Yeah. And I think it, like, you know, and I understand there's a fear for a lot of people of going to HR.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I work somewhere where, like, you're encouraged to go for pretty much, you know, anything, and they're really supportive, and, like, it's great. But yeah. I know it's not like that for everyone.
Yeah.
But if you are leaving anyway, and you have a job lined up, and you don't think it's going to jeopardize that job, I think you should talk about that, because, like, this guy is going to treat another fat person like this in the future.
Right. Exactly right. And I also would, in order to just make it feel like you're not just being shunned, which is like obviously how you're going to feel, but like if there's something that you can do while you're eating your lunch to make it feel like you're not being exiled, that might be good for you. Like get a dope audiobook or like, you know, do something, you know, watch an episode of Teen Mom on your phone. Do whatever it is that you want to do to make that a special time for you. Because if you sit there and you're eating quietly alone and like feel punished on top of ashamed, like that's not cool, man. Like,
yeah,
you know?
I think that the only reason I'm saying you should just do that to begin with is because you want to do it on your terms and you want it to be like, don't give them the opportunity to treat you like shit, you know? And I don't think that like eating by yourself is treating yourself like shit. I think it's just like, you know, stepping away from the situation and realizing there's really no good way forward here except to remove yourself from it.
Yes, I agree with that.
So that's what I would do.
Well, yeah. Let's take another one. Let's take one more.
Hey, Please Advise crew. This is Casey from Dallas. I've called before and got some great advice on the Gabby Dunn episode, so I thought I'd call again. So 22, Libra, Aquarius rising. I don't know if that's important, but I'll say it. I just came off of like the worst fucking year. I've lost all of my grandparents. I was in a job that was sucking the absolute life out of me. I was super depressed, moved back in with my parents. Got put on academic probation because I was like failing out of school. It was so bad. And it was definitely the worst about April. And then I finally was able to break off my contract with my job. I got a new job. I've been kind of giving myself a pass of like, you had a rough time, so now just kind of chill. So I've been like flopping around. I don't get out of bed until it's like 30 minutes before I have to go to work. Like, it's been pretty bad. And Molly, you always talk about how trips to Austin are so refreshing for you. And I feel absolutely the same way about San Antonio. Like when I go to San Antonio, that is when I can just recharge. And I just got off of a trip to San Antonio. And while I was there, I just made the decision of like, it's time to stop playing a backseat role in my life. And it's time to take the wheel and fucking drive. So, and I'm a Libra, so I seek balance in life, obviously, and I've been trying to put myself on a routine so that I'm taking better care of myself and, like, I don't know, I'm just trying to make things better. So my question is, what are things that you and Christina and guests have kind of instituted into your routine that have really motivated you? Or maybe if you don't even have a routine, just, like, a self-care thing that's really helped. I'm on the upswing, and I'd love to hear if you guys have anything that you could give me to maybe start trying out in my own life. Thanks for being here. I'm really sorry about all the things that you guys have been going through, and I hope you're coping and grieving well, and love you guys. All right, bye.
Well, first of all, I do want to point out, and I know you know this, that this is just a fucking hard time for everyone. This has been a really, I mean, whoever is thriving in this environment
is a bad person.
Either a psycho or like they are like during the economic crisis of 2008, I was killing it, baby. Like that was my prime. And like, I don't know why it was, but like for some reason it didn't affect me. That said, I've been paying for that for the last 3 years. My life has been a shitstorm. I get punched around every corner I turn. But I know what you mean. You want to like instill some things in your life that you can do. I call it being an active participant in your own life. I got very excited for you when you said you wanted to get into the driver's seat because you are the only person who's in charge of your own destiny. No one else can do that for you. And certainly not only can they not do it for you, they won't do it for you. So I will say that I started something this week that's really cool. You know, sleep is so important and it's very important to me in particular. I am a sleepy person. Like as Christina has pointed out before, like the one thing she didn't know about me is that I take 2.5 hours to wake up every morning. Like I'm not a person.
And you can also nap. You're like a bit, you like, you can nap.
From time to time. Yeah. Not really any, ever since Oprah went off the air, it's been hard because like she was my nap hour. Like I would start Oprah and then like when the interview started to get boring, I would fall asleep for the last half and then I'd wake up during the 5 o'clock news. And like that was like my jam. And then like, once Oprah left, I was like, well, I can watch a Dr. Phil rerun, but this shit's just so fucking compelling. There's no work getting done. It's just a trash show. So it's like, oh, I want to watch this trash show from start to finish. But when Oprah gets to the part where she's like, now let's talk about the healing piece. It's
that's
like,
when
well,
you
then
like,
I'm like,
conk out. Yeah.
So anyway, I'm like, I don't want to learn how to make myself better. But
you could just watch Super Soul Sunday reruns, I guess.
The iPhone has a new feature called bedtime. And if you open up the clock, it's right next to the alarm, in between the alarm and the stopwatch. Have you seen this? Bedtime?
Oh, yeah.
So I know the importance of a good, sleep hygiene, right? But because of my schedule, I often can't do that. So last night I was up until 2 o'clock in the morning because we did the Lifetime podcast. And then I took about 2 hours to unwind and for my sleep medicine to kick in or whatever. And I was like, fuck, because I just started this app and I wanted to hold myself to it. So I set it up so that I need 9 hours of sleep. I gave myself 9 hours because I'm still a growing girl. I need an extra hour, but I go to bed at 10 p.m. My goal is to make sure that I've taken my sleep meds at 9, so I set up an alarm to go off an hour beforehand to say to me, hey, girl, go to bed. Like, and so I take my sleep meds. I start to do my routine. I'm in bed at 10 p.m. by 10 p.m., and then I wake up at 7 a.m., and you know, it's not an outrageous or difficult, and this morning, I think because of the way I set it up, I actually wound up waking up at 7 o'clock in the morning, which was not really what I wanted today. I actually really needed it. But I had to say, now that I've been awake all morning and I got to do a couple loads of laundry and I got to tidy up a tiny bit downstairs, which I'm sure Lewis is like, really? You cleaned up today? But like, yes.
He's not thinking that.
I took the trash out. Like I did all these things that I normally do not get to do for myself on a Saturday morning. And I do always feel like my weekends are robbed from me a little bit because for one reason or another, I always have to – Christina, I'm sure, feels the same way. For one reason or another, I'm either working on a Saturday or working on a Saturday and a Sunday if I'm doing a Lifetime podcast. So it can sometimes be – or like I'm working all day Saturday and I do a Lifetime podcast after this and that is like – can a bitch get a weekend? Because like also like Ed works full time. I don't get to see him anymore. Like it just sucks. And I really think that if I get on a better schedule where I'm waking up on time, going to sleep on time, I need to work on the water drinking thing, get a Fitbit. I think that there's something just about the accountability of a Fitbit.
Love
that's
my Fitbit.
Very helpful. Mm-hmm. Like I have to set mine up downstairs. I just got a new one. I got the new one. I got orange.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was coral because I had my sunglasses.
I got the cheapest black one that came with Weight Watchers. If you sign up, you get a free Fitbit.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I don't think mine's fancy.
This one doesn't even tell time. It just counts steps, but also it counts sleep. So it does tell me how my sleep is.
And like, you know, you can update it by like going into the app and saying like, I drank a glass of water.
Well, I use Plant Nanny for that.
Okay.
Do you know about Plant Nanny?
No, tell me all about it.
Plant Nanny is you get a virtual plant that you can, like, name.
Shut the fuck up.
That's gonna be my actual advice, too, because, like, buy more plants.
Well, that, so Plant Any works. You tell it how much you weigh and, like, how much, it tells you how much water you should drink in a day.
Fuck
and
off.
Tells you how many glasses of water you need. And so you, every time you take a drink of water, you water your plant. And so if you don't drink enough water, your plant will die.
Okay, first of all, that is genius because in therapy, whenever they'd be like, Molly, look at your inner child. I'd be like, I don't know who she, like, who cares?
Right.
Like, tell that child to shut up. Like, I don't know who she is. Like, I wouldn't understand. Finally, someone said to me, well, would you do that to Wags? And I was like, no. I was like, oh my God. I would like kill someone
if they
talked.
To care for something else.
Yes. So like if you can just channel your water through a like your Tamagotchi plant, like you, that is such a good idea.
I mean, it worked for me for a while and then I started cheating because I was like, my plant keeps dying because I'm not drinking water, which is defeating the entire purpose.
Oh, I'm getting plant nanny right now.
But it does, you know what? It is still effective. I just need to get back on it. I will say, like, I'm so bad at all this stuff. Like, I have the worst sleep hygiene. Like, it's just terrible. And, like, I'm hearing all this stuff. And, like, I know what I should be doing, and I just don't do it. And I, like, kind of thought that when I turned 30, I would magically get better at this. And then I didn't.
Yeah.
But, like, maybe when I'm 35 or 40. Anyway, the one thing, though, that I feel like has been really good in terms of, like, being an active participant in my life, which I've been doing for, like, quite a while now, is being a lot more assertive and concrete with plans and, like, keeping a calendar and, like, putting everything in it and being really, like, I used to be, like, you know, lots of vague plans, lots of, like, we should hang out, lots of, like, you know, I'll get to it eventually. And I feel like putting things down in a calendar and, like, having a schedule is so important.
Huge.
And also, I don't know, I just got over the whole thing of, like, waiting for people to text me and, like, kind of just, like, being like, you know what, like, some people are planners and some people are just, like, go with it. And, like, if you can become a planner, you feel so much more in control of everything and it's worth it.
I definitely would say get an agenda. Having a bandeau agenda has been, like, a great thing for me, and I really love writing down on physical paper. And it also makes me think before I make a plan because I'm not just putting it in my phone. Like, everything, when you do something on your phone, it feels like a simulation. It feels like a game. Like, you're not really thinking about it. But when you have to sit down and write with intention, like, or even say to someone, I'm going to have to get back to you. I have to get in front of my calendar. That makes you wonder. Like, that makes you say, like, maybe my hairdresser tries to bully me into coming in all the time. Uh-huh. And now I don't bring my planner when I go in, so I can say to her, I have to go home and look at my planner. And then that gives me some time to think and say, like, no, you really technically can't come in on Tuesday. And you also don't want to spend the money. And, like, it's not, you know, you can say no to that. And one other thing I was going to say that, oddly enough, you started to kind of mention it. And it was like, to me, it felt like an aside. But when you said that, that's so... It like I was like, oh, maybe it's not an aside. Just remember that when you're down and when you're feeling low, as always in life, nothing is personal. Like, no one is not reaching out to you because they hate you. Like, I had someone say to me recently that I adore and I have always adored. She was like, I said to her, oh, my God, like, I was looking through your Instagram the other day and, like, you know, something, your life is so cute or whatever. And she was like, oh, my God. I've been telling my husband for years that I think you hate me. And I was like, what? And she was like, well, we just didn't talk for a while. And like, I was just like, well, sometimes bitches aren't talking. Like, I just like, or like, you know, like when we stopped talking, like I happen to also reach the busiest that I have ever been in my life. And so like, but at the same time, I have never had one negative thought of this person. Like if pressed to think of a negative thought, maybe she phrased something in a way I didn't like one time, but I can't even think of that time.
Right.
So it's just like nothing is personal. Make sure as with everything else, exactly. Call people and make plans. If someone's not calling you, be like, you know, don't be aggressive, but also just don't, you know.
And also some people do suck and like you don't need them in your life. 100%. And that's also like a very valid like thing to realize that like, especially like when you're younger, you have a lot of friendships of convenience. And I feel like my 20s were all about moving past those and finding people who I really wanted to spend time with, who deserve my time and who were there for me when I needed them.
That's been my 30s. Like, I don't have tangential
I'm saying that like happened throughout my 20s and I'm still dealing with it in my 30s. But like, I feel like throughout my 20s was like figuring that out. Was like moving past like the college friends of convenience that you have.
Right. Well, you bring these people into your life. I mean, especially in LA, like you just wind up at these parties and you talk to someone and you think there's like intimacy there or something. But like really you are what you were before, which is like vague, you know, vague strangers, acquaintances at most. Like, you know, and you know, especially in LA, people just start to tell each other things. And then next thing you know, everyone's like gossiping about you. And it's just a very scary fucking environment. And it doesn't help your depression when you're worried about that shit. It really doesn't. My most recent experience with, I've been doing some psychedelics recently in a scientific sort of way. Like, I'm not just recklessly shrooming.
You microdosing? Are you like,
no,
full
I'm not.
On?
I'm not. I thought about doing that, but I'm not there yet. I'm not comfortable enough with psychedelics to get there yet, but like, I would like to eventually have that be the only thing I fuck with.
Yeah.
Like, my goal is to, because my first thought when I, first of all, when I started shrooming, for the first time recently, I always had an aversion to them because I couldn't handle the thoughts that would come my way. They were too big for me at the time. The first thing I thought is, why would you put alcohol into your body? That's poison. And I was like, why do you smoke? I was like, what? Why would you do that? And I realized, like, my brain was having a conversation with itself that it should have been more, it should have been at the forefront this whole time in my mind. But like, it was so, it's the simplicity of the realizations you have. And one of the realizations I had was that, like, anyone I have in my life who's not like a Christina or an Ed, they're like an extra. And like, I hope that's not weird to say that to you, because I'm not being like, you're no one to me. But like, no, it's like, this is, we have to, you know, I have to acknowledge it for what it is. I'm spending some time with Louis. Say we are not best friends, but like, we're spending some time together today and getting to know each other and doing a podcast, and something is going to come of this. That's work. But like, it's not. I used to think that everyone at work had to be my friend.
Right.
I used to think that, you know, if so-and-so and I got into a fight, that was the end of my social life. Or, you know, I would cry because someone would say something to me that was like a little bit cruel, as opposed to being like, wow, that is a person I don't want to be around. And yeah, so
yeah,
I know,
but I think that's totally true. There are so many people that like I adore, that I like have a lot of like compassion for, that I like, you know, like being around, that I like want good things for. But like, I think it's so important to know who you're, like, as cliche as it sounds, who your like real friends are. And that's usually a very small number of people.
I did hear once a statistic, which I thought was actually on the large side, but I was in group therapy with my former business partners, and we were told that at any given time, you can only actively care it in an effective way, care about 15 people.
That seems like a lot of people.
And I was like, that is way too many people. And my other business partner, who's like a social butterfly, was like, that's like, I mean, I couldn't even begin to pick 15 people.
Right.
And I was like, what are you talking? Like,
but
you
what
don't
is that
have
like, what does
close-
actively care mean? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
People you'll drop anything for to like be there for them. It's like, that's a small number.
Exactly. And like, that's, and it's important you keep it small for that reason, because you can't, yeah. If you're actively there for 50 people, you're going to wind up disappointing the people you do care about.
Right.
Ed used to do that a lot. My best friend. We had to have like a come to Jesus at one point where I just said, like, you want to people please everyone. So you make plans with everyone. And I said, you can only do 2 or 3 things on a Saturday.
Yeah.
If you have 5 parties on a Saturday,
you're spreading yourself way too thin.
You need to acknowledge that you can't physically do that, or so you're going to piss someone off. And I was like, sometimes just letting someone know in advance that you can't do something is the best thing you can do. I'm a big believer in not making promises you can't keep.
Yeah, that's a problem with people pleasers. Like, I mean, I had a friend I had to cut out of my life because I felt like he was doing it to the point that he was just like lying about his availability, because it was just like, he needed to say yes to everyone.
Right.
And so he would just like always be flaking, and I was like, you know, that's worse than saying no to begin with, right?
100%.
Like, you need to just like be upfront about what you can do.
Yeah, I have narrowed it down. Here's another self-care thing that I've talked about here before: 2 nights a week out of the house. Every other night, even that includes weekends. So I know that if I go out 3 or 4 times in a week after in the evening time, I'm going to be exhausted. I'm going to be emotionally drained. I'm going to be like, too much conflict can arise when you're out of the house that much for me, a person like me, where I'm just like, I do take things personally. I'm an introvert. I need my fucking alone time, and I can spend almost a scary amount of time alone. That is something that has been huge for me, and I would look at that for you too and say, like, am I going out too much? Am I not going out enough? Like, what's the right amount of time? How many times a week can I like push myself to be, if you are, you know, if you're someone who doesn't err on the side of making plans. Maybe push yourself to go out twice a week and experience something. If you are someone who overextends and goes out five nights a week, cut back. Like, there's out. Find your happy medium for that, because that's a huge suck on your energy.
Something that's really helped for me in my self-care, I've been able to, like, completely turn around the mental space that I've been in for the last few months. So I redecorated my apartment a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I've been buying a ton of plants.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's a low-level maintenance thing to take care of. You know what I mean? It's not as much as a pet, but it's, like, something.
Yeah.
And
get a succulent. Don't set yourself up for failure, yeah. You know?
Yeah, get something easy like a succulent. But it's just nice to be surrounded by, like, greenery, and it really changes up the space. And, like, having that routine of having to, like, I water them every Saturday and I make sure that they're okay. And,
yeah,
like,
it's proven that plants. Having life in your apartment is...
It's changed up the entire vibe of my space.
I mean, we saw what happened with Franklin. Taking care of yourself, our plant died.
Mm.
It was a very famous Please Advise plant.
Yeah.
What are those plants called?
I forget.
But I have one too. It's no Franklin, but it's kind of doing well.
Yeah.
You have a great, like, but you went and, like, did the whole damn thing. Like, you got banana leaves. Like, you have a big fucking tree in your house. Yeah. And, like, that's dope. Like, I literally want to have a tree installed around the beam.
Couple more stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that big.
Yeah.
Like, at least two or three more for my balcony.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm planning some more hanging plants for, like, my room and, like, a different plant for my room. I just want to have a lot more plants.
You want to live in, like, a jungle?
Kind of, yeah.
Jungle Book.
It just, like, I went to someone's house that had, like, his room had a lot of plants in it. And I was like, this totally changes up the vibe of the space. He was also, like, house-sitting some plants.
What were you doing in a boy's room, Christina?
It was a party for a coworker. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Bet it was a party.
It was.
Key party. Mm-hmm. I see how you are.
Whatever, Mom.
I see. Blow bang. Christina Lopez running the blow bang.
And there was one more thing. Oh. I also, like, reorganized my room and bought little, like, stuff to put in the drawers to, like, keep everything organized.
Yeah.
That's so smart.
Yeah.
And, like, that helped. Like, doing that and, like, spending a day, like, cleaning up my room, doing that and organizing, like, okay, this is all the shit I have. Mm-hmm. I do have space for it. It's going to go in these little things. Like, that just helped organize, like, my mind, too. I don't know. It was just a great thing to do, just kind of, like, declutter and, like, get everything in line, like...
But can we talk about the little things that we set ourselves up for?
Journaling was my third thing. Like, journaling and, like, reading back what I've written in my journals. And, like, it wasn't as bad as I thought.
Do you keep a paper journal?
What?
Do you, like, write it? Do you keep a paper journal or do you?
So, yeah, now I do.
Because I type mine because I was just trying to get back in the habit of doing it.
I tried typing mine and it just didn't have the same, like, emotional heft for me.
Yeah, I totally get that. I just feel like I write so... Every entry I write is, like, 3,000 words. And it's, like...
So do that. Do what's best for you.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't know.
If it's digital,
I mean, like,
that's great.
I cry when I write. So I, like, know that I can still do that through a computer. My hand gets tired and then that's where I start to get depressed.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I can write that much.
But
journaling is so great. It's, like, such a great, like, it's, to me, that's, like, a form of, like, self-therapy, because you work through so much just in, like, terms of putting it out there and having to process it with words. Like, if you can do that, it's such a valuable thing.
Keeping it in your mind, like, even though you think you're constantly thinking about it, it's not actually solving it. It's like being in a hall of mirrors where everything's just bouncing off each other when it's in your mind. So if you don't feel comfortable to get to a space yet where you're accepting therapy or you're accepting help from someone else, but you need to get it out of your mind and, like, speak it out loud vocally or have it just out there, journaling is a great way to do that. It's almost a half step to therapy.
Yeah. And honestly, like, the fact that you can do that is so important. Like, I've had every therapist I've ever had, everyone is like, you should be doing more free writing. You should journal. Like, I have a lot of nightmares. And so my therapist is like, the first thing you should do when you wake up is write them down. And I'm like, yeah, but, like, I'm never going to do that. And, like, to that point, I was going to say, make sure you don't set yourself up for something that's not you. Because I, like, have been trying to – in my mind, I have a capsule wardrobe, okay? But, like, in reality, I know that I like bright things. I like to change it up. I like to get a new piece here and there. And, like, that is something that – just acknowledging that about myself – I was able to clean out my closet with a lot more intention. I have 3 bags of shit to go drop off at Crossroads and hopefully make some money. And, yeah, like, it's just, it's cleaner. Like, I recognized, Jolie said this in the last episode, use your good shit, too. That's another thing. A grown-ass woman uses her good shit. You don't, if, you know, you don't save your current Elliot white t-shirt for a rainy day and put on a Hanes. No, girl, you deserve a Karen Elliott t-shirt today. Like, you deserve that nice V-neck, even if you're just hanging out at the house. Like, use your best moisturizer. Don't be stingy with yourself. Because when, if not now, when? And especially end times. We're living in end times, as Max has said. And, you know, use your good shit. Yeah. Okay, anything else, you guys?
That was good. That's a good way to close.
Lewis, thanks for being here. Where can people find you?
Thanks for having me. Find me on, it was good to meet you. This was so fun. Find me on Twitter at Lewis Peitzman or yeah, BuzzFeed.com, the website.
You're a good follow. I enjoy your tweets.
You are. I retweeted you fairly recently without realizing. I was like, oh, this is the Lewis that's coming. No, please advise this week.
Christina was actually the one who caught your tweet saying, like, book me for your podcast.
And yeah, my shameless ploy to get people on people's podcasts.
And I was like,
it worked. So,
well, it's smart. And also, because, like, first of all, you don't even know. If more people did that, I would be happy as a fucking clam.
It's hard to find people for a podcast. Like, I hate booking people.
I mean, it's not, I don't find it to be hard. I just, it's like, I forget to do it. And then the worst thing with this one is that we are so scheduled and the schedule can't be fucked with.
Right.
Like, it really can't. We can maybe give it a half an hour here or there, but, like, we work from noon to four every other Saturday.
Yeah.
And that doesn't change. And when someone blows you off or you have, like, a celeb guest or whatever else, sometimes I've, like, waited to the last minute just to book a random and they're like, well, wait, who am I filling in for? I'm like, no one. I just didn't book the show this week. Like, I just didn't book it till yesterday. So, yeah, it's fucking brutal. Dude, what's, like, a piece that you've written in the last, like, year that you're super proud of that people can go look up or whatever, ever in your life?
God, there's, like, so much. That sounds, like, really self-indulgent.
You're so proud of
yourself. No, I just mean it's, like, I write a lot. Yeah. So I'm, like, trying to figure out, like, what would be good.
That's biz.
You know, I wrote this story about Asian American representation in theater, which is, like, very niche. But if you care about representation in theater, I am proud of that story. Spent a lot of time on that.
That's a great suggestion.
I was trying to think. The South Pacific is one play that I could think of.
Miss Saigon.
Miss Saigon was the other one. Like, Code Switch did a really good piece on that play.
Oh, Miss Saigon?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wrote a lot about Miss Saigon in that story. It was before the revival happened, but yeah, I mean, I write a lot about representation in theater. So I've written about, like, disability, and I'm working on a story about trans representation. And, like, I try to write about inclusion in theater because it's sort of at the forefront of a lot of things, but also super behind. So that's my area of interest. And also Housewives.
Yeah.
Care about those two things.
Oh, the tweet that I retweeted you was, on some level, we all knew Miranda Hobbs would end up as the governor of New York.
She will be the governor of New York. Wait for it.
Yeah,
there's a little buzz that, like, Cynthia Nixon might run for the governor.
Yeah, she's gonna run.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
That's a big fat okay. Like, I don't care. I don't care.
I care because it's my home state. But
yeah, well, like, you think that's a bad thing or a good thing?
No, I actually think it's kind of interesting. I know she's been a big advocate for public schools in New York City. Yeah. She sends her kids to New York City public schools.
She's not, like, a celebrity who's just writing, but, like, trying to, like, get by on fame. Like, she's so engaged where I'm like, if you, like, you can be an actor and, like, care about politics and run. It's not the same as, like, The Rock being like, sure, I'll be president because I'm The Rock.
Right.
So I don't know. It's different. That's all I'm saying.
No, she also, like, she's not active, like, acting really that much anymore. Like, you, it's not exactly right. That's also,
except on one of the greatest SVU episodes ever.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Is it new?
No, it's a classic.
That one. She has multiple personalities.
Oh my God, it's so good.
I need to rewatch that. I don't think I've seen it in years. I mean, I've seen every Law and Order SVU episode probably 7 times, but
like, see that an 8th time because it's that good.
Yeah, I need to watch it. I love that. That's one of the only shows that you kind of forget what the episode was about.
Well, and then as you're watching it, you're like, oh, yeah.
I want to watch the one that was Robin Williams that's based on, also they did the movie.
I know you're talking about.
You know, where it's about the McDonald's where they get the girls.
Compliance?
Like, Compliance, yes. Yeah. I know the guy that played the Robin Williams in Compliance. Yeah, it's so funny. And so, like, I just remember also being like, shivers. So yeah. I was like, just so weird because it was so gross. Also my nightmare, like literally my nightmare. All right, you guys, thank you so much. Always call 323-450-7408. Christina, Thanks for being the best and always being here. You guys, thanks for allowing us to take that space we needed and for giving us a little bit of a break and for kind of taking the alternative format episodes with in stride. It means a lot. Make sure you check out my other podcast, Mother May I Sleep With Podcast, the limited run Lifetime Original Movie Podcast, and Emotionally Broken Psychos, which has 5 spinoffs now. So, and I don't host all of them. I don't host any of them. So go check those out. And I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.